to Junior Church this morning.
We'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 25. What an amazing God that we have. Now, I encourage you every day, I hope every day that you stop and think about the grace of God. This is God's favor towards us that we definitely don't deserve. That is the motivating power to change. That is the motivating power to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Because He's given us something that we didn't earn or deserve. It's God's power and His work of grace. And as we continue our study through the book of Acts, as we've seen mighty examples of the power of God in this last chapter, as Paul is going before kings, as God said He would, and bearing testimony to what God has done in his life. And we've been talking about when fantasy is exposed by the light. And as we come into chapter 25 of Acts, remember that in verse 23 of chapter 25, that King Agrippa and Bernice came in, it says, with great pomp. In other words, they came in with a showy appearance, a display, and it was something that was fantastic. They had armor guards, they had flags, they had everything to make themselves look bigger than they really are. Knowing that they were going to appear before this little Paul that was probably partly blind and in chains, in prison. And I believe Luke brings that word out as a play on words, because later on in chapter 26, Festus said, "Paul, are you out of your mind?" And it is the irony that is brought out in this passage where the people that thought they knew the truth and understand what was real, they were really living in a fantasy world. They were really living in a world of what was not real. And we talked about last week those first four points in your sermon notes, that the light is eternal. It exposes the temporary nature of fantasy. And that's exactly what Paul's testimony did when he comes down into chapter 26 and says, I saw the light, it was brighter than the sun. And the light is eternal, it exposes the temporal nature of the things that we hear and see now. The light is a fulfilled promise of God. The light exposes the hopelessness of fantasy. As we come in chapter 26, he talks about in verse 8, he says, "Why do you think it's so incredible that God raises the dead?" He brings out the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and exposes the hopelessness that they have and the hope that he has in that one day, the power of the resurrection. And then the light brings people to reality. It exposes self-deception. And Paul shares that in verse 9 of chapter 26. He says, you know, I was convinced that I was doing the right thing by persecuting people that were following Jesus. And so it exposes the self-deception. And then the light is a real person. It exposes the impersonalization of fantasy. And we talked about how we're living in a culture and in a world today where we are bombarded with fantasy things. We watch TV, we're online, we're on social media, and we talked about the effects of that, of too much Facebook time, too much tweeting time, too much of this, and it develops an unhealthy habit and it leads to depression. It leads to an emptiness, because what's on Facebook and the lives a lot of times people present on that is not really reality. And we become depressed when we look at how great other people's lives might seem to be because they only post their lavish vacations. But the light is a real person. It's Jesus Christ. And He invites us into that living relationship. And I would like to pick up today in verse 16 as we continue on. As a matter of fact, I'll read from verse 12. It says, "In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus." So we're in Acts 26, verse 12. "With the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. It shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you're persecuted.' And then he says, 'But rise.' talking to Paul, stand up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And that brings us to the fifth part of this, is that light exposes the sin of fantasy. Paul is giving his personal testimony here, and he talks about Jesus saying, okay, Paul, it's time to stand up. And he says, I'm delivering you from your people, the Jewish people. I'm delivering you from the Roman, the Gentiles. And that word deliver literally means in the Greek to pluck out or to draw out or root out or choose. There was Paul persecuting the church, and God said, he's mine. And many of us have that similar testimony. When you came to know Jesus Christ, when God convicted of you of your sins and he reached his hand out and he said, you're mine. He selected you and handpicked you out to be a servant. And it exposes our sin and exposes the condition that we're really in. There was an old tight-fisted farmer, and this was back in the day when they had lanterns. They didn't have the neat little flashlights that we have now that are a little thing and they're high-powered and you can see for miles. And his hired hand takes one of the lanterns and he says, I'm going to go out a-courting tonight. And so he takes that lantern to his lady friend's house and invites her out to go courting. And that tight-fisted farmer said, well, back in the day when I was going out a-courting, I never used a lantern. And the hired hand looked at him and said, yeah, look who you ended up with. It's in the dark. We can't see the reality of our sin. And when things are dark, have anybody ever been in a cave where they turned out all the lights and you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? That's quite an experience. You know, and when we get up in the morning, what is the first thing most of us do, or maybe second or third thing, but it's definitely before you leave the house, is that you flip the light on in the bathroom and you look in the mirror. See if anything's amiss. And see if your wife's slobber is, dried on the side of your face. You want to remove that, right? Some of you are laughing because maybe it's true. I mean, make sure you have a lifeboat or something like that, you know. So we go to the mirror, we make those changes, and we make ourselves presentable because we can see the problem. And when Jesus comes as a light, when he appeared to Paul, he came and exposed, said, no, you're going in the wrong direction here. He says, I'm going to invite you to turn from darkness to the light. I'm going to invite you to turn from the power of Satan to God. And when the light comes, God gives us a powerful purpose. And you know, there's so many people today that walk around with no purpose, with no life, with no agenda. But God has created us for purpose. He says, "What God, there is no real purpose without Him." He created us to be in that relationship connection. That's why he said, I saw the light. He says, but it was a person, Jesus. He's invited us into a relationship with him. We try to live without this God, but we end up wandering aimlessly. And so he says, Paul, stand on your feet. And that's indicative of maybe what happened with Ezekiel. He was told the same thing. Stand up. That was God's way of saying, I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you a calling. I'm going to call you out to serve and share this light with other people. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to put the focus or the attention on yourself. You're going to be a light, but the light's not going to shine on you. It's going to shine on me. And so he says, I want you to be a servant. And that word servant in the Greek means a subordinate acting under another's direction. Paul is testifying before these kings and he says, I have another master now. I have another leader that I'm subordinate to. And it really comes from the word under rower. So it goes back to the old time Navy ships or whatever that they would have. And they would have the ship guys that were up on deck and then the higher up. But then they had the ones that were the slaves or the lowest bottom of the totem pole. They would be in the bottom and they would be doing the rowing. That was before we had gasoline engines and all that kind of stuff, you know. So they were subordinate to the ones that were on top of the ship. They said the left side row faster or the right side row faster. That's what they did. Paul says, I'm called to be a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what God just dictates. It's what the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ dictates to me. When the light comes, it gives us a purpose of becoming a servant. He said, not only a servant, but I'm calling you to be a witness. And that word witness carried out in its full is someone that sees something. And Paul certainly saw Jesus Christ, not only on that road, but he probably saw him when he was doing his teaching ministry because he was a Pharisee and he was high up in leadership. And there's not a single person that didn't hear about this Jesus. He probably saw him hanging on the cross even. We don't know for sure, but he says that he was a witness. But it's one that sees, but it's in a deeper level. When God comes and changes your life, He makes us after His example and we prove the genuineness of our faith in Jesus Christ. So a witness is someone who lives out the gospel and proves that the gospel really did come into their life. So those whose lives and actions testified to the worth and the effect of faith. So if God says to Paul, I'm going to call you out that you show the world how to turn from light, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. He says, you are a witness of this in your very life. You testify by your changed actions. And so a witness of those that testify and then ultimately who witness for Christ by their death. And Paul certainly knew that that was coming in his life. But what am I trying to say today? The light exposes the sin of fantasy. We see our true condition in our sin, and it drives us to turn from darkness to light. So in other words, we can function in the way that God intended us to function at the beginning of creation. So that means if God made you a car, stop trying to be a boat. Sin is trying to be something other than what God created us to be. And when Jesus Christ comes and shines His light into our life, He transforms us from the inside out so we can function in that relationship with God that we're meant to function. So the light of Jesus also does another thing, is that it's that we're free from our evil master in relationship with God. And I've shared this illustration. Maybe some of you have heard it, maybe you haven't, but it's always good to refresh. But there was a captain on a ship. It seems like we have the ship theme going on today. I hope you all are ready to go out kayaking or something this afternoon. But there was a captain on a Navy ship who was mean and angry and gruff with his sailors. Every time he would come around the corner, he would yell and scream at them. So the sailors got so used to that, they heard his footsteps coming down the deck. They would go on the other side of the deck or on another floor just to avoid him. And so they were so used to that bad captain. In fact, that captain was not connected with anybody on the ship. He just did his own thing. He never really not got to know his men. There was no teamwork or anything like that. You could tell he didn't care. Well, the day came when the Navy moves people around. They transferred that captain and they got a new captain on the ship. And this captain was completely the opposite of the other. He loved his sailors. He said, we got to build teamwork. I want to get to know these guys. Where are they all? He'd walk around a corner and he'd hear footsteps and the deck was empty. And then he'd go to another floor and he'd hear people running up the stairs. They were gone. Why? Even though the new captain was different, they were used to the old captain. And what I'm talking about today is that he says, I'm calling you from the power of Satan to the power of God. Satan was once our taskmaster, our slave driver, who put us down and who beat us down and who kept us stuck in the muck of sin. But now we have a new captain. We don't have to live in the power, under the power of the devil anymore. When Jesus hung on the tree and said, "It is finished," in fact, in Colossians it says, He took all that was against us and made a public showing, disarming all principalities and power, all the power of Satan, and has given us life. So you have a new captain now. Live by that new captain. And so the light exposes the sin of fantasy. It exposes the darkness. It exposes the fact that we're in chains, but it also revealed that Jesus Christ has set us free and we have a new captain now and we don't have to live in the old ways anymore. The light of Jesus, and it gets even better. Don't you love this? I mean, God turns His light on. He sets us free from tyranny. He sets us free from being beat up by the devil. But not only that, the light enables us to receive something from Him. And we sang about it this morning, about grace, something that we don't deserve. But He says that they may receive, in the end of verse 18 there, says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those. So, I'm sure every single person in this room has heard about the word forgiveness, right? Is there anyone that didn't hear about forgiveness before? That's something that we all know and talk about. There's usually one smart aleck that raises his hand or her hand, but you probably know that you'll probably end up here in an illustration or something, so you keep your hand down. We talk about forgiveness of sins. The light of Jesus Christ enables us to be able to receive the forgiveness of sins. And what is the forgiveness of sins? We sometimes say, well, it's just, you know, it's just the someone feeling sorry and then things get better. But if we look at the power, the depth of the forgiveness of sins, it means that we're released from imprisonment or bondage. And so, in a deeper level, we're forgiven or pardoned of our sins. So it's, in other words, we let go of them as if they've never happened. Can you imagine? How thick would the book be if you were to add up all of your sins from the time you were born till now? I don't know if this room would be big enough to contain it all. It'd have to be like electronically microfissured in or something like that. But when Jesus forgives, it doesn't matter what you have done or what kind of attitude that you've had, He washes it away as if it's never happened. Oh, you will still struggle with the sorrow of the past sins, and there may even be following consequences of it, but the debt has been paid. I like to look at it this way. It's like all of our sins are like a helium-filled balloon. And Jesus said, "You're forgiven, you're washed," and we still try to hang on to that balloon, but receiving forgiveness is letting go of it. Letting it go. What's past is past. He says in Corinthians, "You are a new creation in Jesus Christ." The light forgives us of our sins. It's if letting them go as if they've never been forgiven. You know, why is this important? It's important because every single day, you're going to face a battle where the devil is going to try to tell you, "I'm still your captain." And all those things you did yesterday and a long time ago, you might as well just give up following Jesus. Right? Just throw in the towel. Become dead. Become dry. Maybe just become a pew sitter and just kind of let just Satan wants to cripple you and shut you up. Because when the light comes, God wants to spread it to other people. And if He can get us to believe that our sins are not forgiven, that we can't let go of them, He keeps us held down. This is Paul, I'm sending you out so that people can receive forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. And then it gets even greater. He says to receive a place among those who sanctified by faith in me. He uses that word holy, placed in God's sanctified or holy family. That's a person that's consecrated to God, so they are externally cleansed from their sins. They're internally, on the inside, purified from their sins, and they're free from the guilt. If you're still living in guilt, come to Jesus and receive His forgiveness. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in shame anymore. You don't have to stay unpurified. You don't have to remain not consecrated to God and in this mellow, lukewarm, dead, churchy Christian life. You don't have to stay there. He's come to give us forgiveness. He's come to say, you have a place among those who are consecrated. Those that are set apart to follow me. Number six, the back of your notes, the light goes even further. Not only do we receive something, but He transforms us from the inside out. The light exposes the failure of fantasy. How many things have you tried, or people have you tried to go to? Don't answer out loud, please. We all kind of have this sense that we want to change our lives, right? We want to make our lives better. We do. But how many times have we gone to something to make our life better and then we kind of come up empty-handed again? Well, I overcome my anger, but now I have a problem with patience. Well, I gave up my alcohol or drugs, but now I have a problem with overeating. Or I gave up this and now it's replaced with something else and we still come up empty. And the point of what Paul is saying in verse 19, he addresses King Agrippa. He says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He gives the example of his own changed life. But declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should what? Repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. Now that's a mouthful there.
The light exposes the failure of fantasy. Humans try to live a good life, but it just doesn't change anything long term. But the light does. Paul says, you know, this pomp and circumstance, King, you got power, you got authority, but your life is not being changed. I became obedient to God. This is what happened in my life. And so the light makes us obedient to God. And there's no such thing as a person that's truly saved that doesn't want to be obedient to God and is not trying and not working through being obedient to God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. In 1 John 2, 1 through 6, it says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who those that aren't the children of God. The children of God obey God. So the light makes a person obedient. They change the direction. So here's the big word, repentance. Anybody like the word repentance? Learn to like it because it is your freedom. God gives us the gift of repentance. And repentance in the Greek means to change your mind. In other words, you were thinking this way about your sin. Now you're thinking about your sin, how God views it. And you're down this highway. And so it's like a town right now on Cow Creek Road where we live. Our bridge is out. So it's just a mile to come to Taze Valley from our house. But that bridge is out. There's only one way in and one way out, basically, unless you want to go through some dirt roads and through creeks and things like that. Only one way in. So imagine a town like that. There's only one direction that we're heading as humans, and there's only one way out, and that is to turn around and follow Jesus and go in the other direction. That's what repentance is. And so if you're going the wrong way, he says, God's changed my life. He can change yours if you turn to God and change your mind about how you feel about your sins. In other words, get a grip. Stop living in fantasy. It's being abhorring our past sins and humbly turning from our sin to God. And then he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The light produces continuous results in a person's life. So wouldn't you say you know, back in the day, they would come with those carts and elixirs and say, well, this elixir will heal everything. And then they will set up fake testimonies and that sort of thing. And I was limping on my leg and I took this elixir and now I'm running. I couldn't see my wife coming across the farm and I took this elixir and put it in my eyes and now I can see. But the truth is those things never really did heal a person. Now imagine what that looks like in Christianity today and in the church. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to follow Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to live for Him. I don't want to obey and walk after Him. Paul says, in repentance and keeping with deeds and keeping with repentance. In other words, a person that's been truly invaded by the light has continuous results of transformation. I'd like for you to see, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. He says, no one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. You like the word see there? I saw the light. So, who in here is perfect and doesn't sin at all? So what is this really talking about? He's saying if we continue to purposely or willfully practice sin, he says we haven't seen Jesus or know Him. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and he is as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice, and there's the key verse, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, and the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he was born of God. But this is the evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. And that's why Jesus talks about this. Paul talks about this. It's repentance in keeping with salvation. Deeds in keeping with repentance. So, we still mess up. We still sin. We still go back and think that we have the old master that we're still following, right? We'll still mess up. But what he's talking about is the desire or the direction of your heart. Because if you say, I'm going to do this, I know it's wrong, and I'm going to keep doing it no matter what, I don't care, that shows that we haven't seen Jesus Christ. So someone who really sees the light has a turned direction. And when they sin, they get back up and say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. I need some help with this area in my life. I'm struggling. Oh, I fell again. That's different than a person that just says, well, I'm addicted to this. I'm stuck in this. I might as well just keep on doing it. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what God says. And so that's the difference between someone who has the light produces a real change. The light gives the person help to live. And Paul says, God's helped me in verse 22. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God, and I stand here testifying to small and great, saying nothing that the prophets of Moses would come to pass. But look in verse 23. He says that the Christ must suffer, that being first to rise from the dead, He would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. What really changes us? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the last point today, the light is not a confusing secret. It's open and clear. So, at this point, Festus did not want to hear. A real change brings about a transfer of life, right? this guy Festus and these other kings, they lived sinful lives and they didn't want to give up their practices of sin. They had incest in their marriage and they had all kinds of things, and you can read in the history books of what these kings did and how they lived. It was horrible, terrible lifestyle. He felt convicted. He said, I'm not going to change. I don't want to. And so then he just said, Paul, you're absolutely out of your mind. And that's exactly what I want to hone in as we close this today, is when God confronts us with His truth, with His light, what do? Because the light is rational and true. And Paul says that to him in verse 24. He says, you know, verse 25, he says, I'm not out of my mind, but I'm speaking true and rational words. Doesn't it make sense that if Jesus is the real Christ, if He really did die and rise again, that a person's life would really be changed? And then they said, I just don't want to hear it. You think that you can convert me, he says later to Paul, to be a Christian in just this short of time? What keeps us from turning to Christ, even when we know the gospel is true and we might even believe it? What keeps us from living a life of obedience? Two things. And I want you to think about this week. One is the pride of our own intellect. The pride of our own intellect. We rationalize our own insanity, just as these leaders did, just as these kings did, by telling others that they're out of their minds. By telling God, are you out of your mind? There's no way I'm going to give this up in my life. The pride of our own intellect, because our own intellect is not always based on the truth. It's like when we go out online for information, and a lot of times we just think, Siri, what is da-da-da-da-da? How do you know that what's posted online is really true? I mean, people get on there and post all kinds of baloney, like they're real answers to the question, right? But in our pride, we rationalize away in our human intellect to our own insanity. And then the second thing is that our position in life. We don't want to lose what we already have. And for these kings, it was their position and power. For us, it might be our comfort, or family members making fun of us, or something changing in our job and in our life, or I might have to share Christ with somebody and I don't really want to. That's the insanity of fantasy. But I can guarantee you, if you would allow the light, we need to pray for each other with this, and pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that we open ourselves up to the light of Jesus Christ and allow Him to come in and change our lives completely. So you know what? I'm done with the fantasy world. I'm done with the pomp and the circumstance. I'm done with trying to point out how insane others are or this person is. I just want to know Jesus. I just want to be changed by Him for real. I want to go the next step in my walk with Jesus Christ. So I want to leave you with these questions today. Are you willing to turn from your insanity to the sanity of the Savior who really did die as a substitute for your sins and rose again from the dead? Paul says to the king, these things were done in the open. Everybody knew Jesus died and rose again. Everybody in Jerusalem, it was the talk of the town. It was in all the tabloids. It was in all the newspapers. It was on their TV, which was their mouths. They would spread the information around. It wasn't done in secret. It was a fact in history that Jesus died and rose again. So are you living a daily lifestyle of repentance? And is the fruit of your life showing that the light has invaded your life? Is it showing? If it isn't, That's okay because you're here today and you can say, Jesus, I'm coming. I'm receiving. Take away the guilt. Wash away my shame. And so I want to invite the worship team to come. And if we can just go into prayer today. You know, if you're here today and you have not been walking in the light, or you say, you know what, today I just want to make a recommitment of my relationship with Jesus, and you want to come down and pray, or I welcome you to do that. I'll pray with you. If you want to stay and pray in your seat, I welcome you to do that as well. If you want to talk to myself or the elders afterwards, welcome you to do that. But if God is working in your life, don't wait to surrender to the light of Jesus Christ. If you haven't ever received Him as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to do that today. God wants you to be born again because it changes everything, because the Spirit comes to live inside of you. So if you're not, He simply says, receive. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Receive His grace. So I want to give you just a moment. If you're here and you want to receive His grace, just to say, yes, Jesus, I turn from my sins and I turn to You. I believe You died and rose again. I'm done living my old way. I'm on this one-way road and I'm going to turn around and follow You now. If you pray that prayer. Father, we come before You and we thank You for the power of the cross that transforms us from the inside out. Lord Jesus, we come to You today and we desire to be obedient. We desire to have deeds that are in keeping with repentance. We desire to demonstrate the faith that You've given us by our changed life. So we welcome You. Lord Jesus, we ask that You'd forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for even taking Your name in vain, claiming to be a Christian, but not even living in the power of being a Christian. Jesus, I just pray that You'd strengthen Your body of believers today to follow You and walk after You with all our heart, soul, and mind. We love You, Jesus. We celebrate Your grace. And all God's people said, amen. Let's make this song a